Hello, everybody. This is Marcy Heim, the Artful Asker. Welcome to our May Artful Asking Success Club call. This is all about taking responsibility. And woohoo, folks, did I do it today. I just jumped in there and took responsibility for the craziness happening in my technology. I didn't panic. I didn't even get butterflies. I just said, what's my solution? How do I do this? This is all about dialing down the drama. I'm just thrilled that you're on board to have witnessed me not going completely crazy like I would have a short 6 months or a year ago. This is kind of a moment for me, and I'm going to demonstrate another thing. I'm appreciating right now what just happened for me. What just happened for me is there was a time that I would really not have managed the situation that happened to me. I would have gotten upset. I would have been frantically emailing my admin person and saying, help me, what do? I don't know what to do. Everybody's coming on board. Blah, blah, blah. All of that drama only gets us all worked up and upset and is exactly why I created this series. So I'm just taking in another moment and demonstrating that now I'm saying, Marcy, you rock. You just did this. You just managed this. So welcome. Welcome to our May edition. And all of these calls are recorded, which is why I need it so importantly to get into the site. And it's available on a private page on my website just for all of you who are our members and our special guests. And a reminder that if you buy a 12-pack of these, not only do you get what I'm currently doing now, but you get all my past calls. And I started this in November of 2011. Can you believe that? Just a couple of days after my birthday, I was born on Philanthropy Day in November 2011. So there's lots of great calls out there that you can listen to. And I'm trying to make this an inexpensive and a rock star way for you to get a dose of energy and information each month. And I'm purposely making this an audio only, not a webinar. Now, what did you just do to me here? Not a webinar. So loading the True App key, I don't need. Come back here. Here we go. So that you can walk, so that you can move around, so that you can be in your car, so that you can do other things while you listen to this either live or from the download that I send you, because I want you to not be glued to that computer. If you ever have trouble, send the note to info@marcyheim.com. I just want to remind you, coming up in June is my next More Major Gifts workshop in Chicago. We have a great group coming, but you can still join us. And it's two solid days with me where we really go over what do you need to be the best major gift person you can be. Whether major for you is $1,000 or $1 million, it's just a great experience, and I'd encourage you to come if you possibly can make it. It's $597, a real deal for the 2 days. It's at the Spring Hill Suites in Chicago, where they've just revised our room rate, down to $150 a night, which is fabulous. You can fly in easily. I know I've got some folks on this call coming from Canada. Can't wait to have you come. So think about that if you wish. It's just a great 2 days. Our next call is June 19th, and that call is about creating white space. You're going to love it, and it's purposefully timed to be in the summer when we need to think about creating white space. Okay, so stop, breathe, slow down, focus, phones off. Take the next 60 minutes to be with me. You deserve it, okay? This program's part of a year-long program. Dial down the drama, dial up your success in raising money and in life. And really, this morning also was a great example of how many times have we wasted our energy and our focus and all the good we could do by being upset. Upset's such a useless emotion. Anger, such a useless emotion. We all go there, but it's just, the sooner we can say, nah, not for me. I'm not going to I'm not going to let this emotion take me over and take me down. I'm going to flip the switch right now and say, hey, why am I making such a big deal about this? And how am I going to manage it better if I just pull that drama out of it? Oh, my God, the thing's not working. Oh, my God, the gift didn't come in. Oh, what if my kids get into trouble? Oh. Why do we make such an emotional big deal out of this? Let's save that emotional energy to celebrate the good that's in our life, to rejoice and to be grateful for all the good things that are coming our way. I want you to see a dial in front of you. And I did this morning, so it works. I saw this dial, and I wanted to be 10 on that emotional crank of, oh, my goodness, this isn't working. All these people are going to jump on board this call and not find me. Maybe they'll think I forgot. I would never forget you. Maybe they'll think something bad's happened. Oh, my gosh, I don't want them worrying. And instead, I just said, huh, it's not working. I have to download this Adobe Flash thing. All right, I'm going to click on it. I'm going to do it. And I know that they know I'm going to be there. So I took that crank. I want you to see a dial in front of you. And I want you to, like, reach out and grab whatever you envision as this dial and turn it down and turn it up. And realize that you're in the driver's seat, that you drive this dial. You decide, I'm going to let this thing freak me out, or I'm going to turn it down and just say, okay, what step am I going to take next? What action am I going to take next? We control the dial. Today's program is all about May Day, May Day, it's May. And what we are doing right now in May determines the success we are going to have in speaking those major gift asks that are coming up for us during the summer. If summer is our prime time when our organizations happen, or in the fall and year end, if we're on a more traditional calendar year timeline. The point I'm trying to make is our major gift asks look so kind of far away. We should be doing them all the time, but we tend to wait until the middle end of the year. So right now is the time that we've got to realize May Day, May Day. May Day, I looked up and read about. It's a French word that I cannot pronounce, so I'm not even going to try. But it's something that a pilot calls out, meaning, come help me, I'm going down. So when a pilot is going to crash, he yells out, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. And I said, this is perfect for our call this month because we need to get that if we don't take some real set action right now, our success in our major gift work is going down. Now, I realize that's a bit dramatic, but I want you to really sit up and take notice. And today, do three things with me. Set some intentions, set some intentions, focus your attention, and plan your action for your major gift relationship action plans now, or you're not going to, quote unquote, feel comfortable asking this summer or by the year end. You need to take responsibility for this. You are not a victim of circumstances. You can make choices right now that will determine the success you will have this year and for this year end. So let's look at these three steps. Intention, attention, and action. Number one, intention. Right now, set your intention for your year-end giving results. Have you ever wondered why so many people work hard and work honestly, but they never seem to achieve anything in particular? And it seems like other people don't seem to be working that hard. It seems like they leave the office at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It seems like they have time in their life for their family and friends, but they just are are always successful. They must have like this magic touch. Everything she touches turns to gold. Have you noticed that people who are successful in this work tend to continue to be successful? And people who are struggling with it seem to always seem to be struggling. The difference is gold. The difference is that successful people know where they're going. People who are failing believe their lives are shaped by somebody else or by circumstances, by things that happen to them, by exterior forces. Well, it's hard for us to raise that kind of money because right now our demographics are changing. Or, you know, my board just isn't helping me with this. Or my executive director doesn't know blah, blah, blah. Or I don't know how to do this. Or we don't have that. I want you to think about a ship with a complete voyage mapped out and planned, the captain and crew, think partners here, know exactly where the ship is going and how long it will take, and it has a definite goal. My friends, 9,999 times out of 10,000, it's going to get there. Now take another ship just like the first, only let's not put a crew on it or a captain at the helm. Let's give it no aiming point, no goal, no destination. We're just going to start the engines and let her go. I think that you'll agree that if it gets out of the harbor at all, it'll either sink or wind up on some deserted beach, a derelict. It can't go anyplace because it has no destination and no guidance. It's the same with our major gift work. Your ship is just fine. I've got faith that you have everything you need to do this work. But are you just going to kind of flail about and make a random call here and run off and do that there and start another event here and jump on board with, oh, now we have to do crowdfunding. Oh, this is the latest and greatest. Let's try this. Oh, let's order a coffee mug with our name on it. I mean, let's have an event. Or are instead you going to very strategically and purposefully steer your major gift ship work? I'm saying ship. Ship work. You really have everything you need. But if you're flying about, randomly setting up an appointment here or there, oh, I can call Joe. I know he always says yes to my appointments. So we visit Joe a lot because he always says yes. And he's a nice guy. Now, is Joe in our top 10? Maybe yes, maybe no. But we're getting appointments set up. Yep, we're getting those appointments set up. That's sort of random flying around. Generally, when we do that, we find there's a long list, 10, 15, 20, or more key folks that we've missed. And all of a sudden, it's year end, and we haven't taken the steps now so that we know what they're interested in, we understand where they're at in their giving plans, and we've set up the pre-steps so that ask makes sense. When I was 17, and I know many of you have heard this before, I discovered this book, The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. And in it, he talks about that throughout history. Great wise men and teachers, philosophers and prophets have disagreed with each other on lots of things. It's only one thing, one point, that they are in complete and unanimous agreement. And he projects, and I agree, that it's the key to our success and failure. We become what we think about. So why does he call his book The Strangest Secret? Why is it a secret? Why is it strange? Actually, it's not a secret. For all time, wise men and women, and again in the Bible, it's been promoted. But very few people seem to get it. That's why it's strange and why, for some equally strange reason, it seems to be a secret. I want to talk to you about a few points in history to prove this. A great Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius, said a man's life, now granted, he was a Roman empire, so gals, you have to put up with this. I would say a man's and a woman's life is what his or her thoughts make of it. William James said, we need only in cold blood act as if the thing in question were real, and it will become infallibly real by growing into such a connection with our life that it will become real. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale put it this way, if you think in negative terms, you'll get negative results. If you think in positive terms, you'll achieve positive results. I know you've heard this before. George Bernard Shaw said, people are always blaming their circumstances for what they are. I don't believe in circumstances. The people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want. And if they can't find them, they make them. Now, what does that mean for us in terms of major giving work? If that gift we've been looking forward to coming true takes a shift to the left or the right, we don't say, oh my gosh, we're done, we're doomed. We say, where's the next person I can talk with? What do I have to set up so that more major donors see this as the place they want to invest? How can I set up vibrant options for giving that excite and delight them and get out there and talk about them with those folks I've identified as my top potential participants in our major giving program this year? How do I create these circumstances? And if I can't find the people, how do I say, who are those who share our values and interests that I can get involved? I am going to make my circumstances. Right? It's pretty apparent, isn't it? We become what we think about. If we think we have amazing opportunity for amazing major gifts, we have it. If we think, oh my gosh, this is never going to happen here, we're not the right kind of organization, times are tough now, we just got laid with a big deferred maintenance bill and we're going to just crawl in a hole and die. How can we downsize, cut expenses? We have to focus on being smaller. We've got to focus on dealing with this budget crisis. Oh. A person who is thinking about a concrete and worthwhile goal is going to reach it because that's what she's thinking about. Let me say that again. A person who is thinking about a concrete and worthwhile goal is going to reach it because that's what she's thinking about. The problem we have is that we're thinking about lots of different other things and they become our goals by default because that's what we're thinking about. A person who doesn't have that concrete goal that they're holding before them, who doesn't really know where they're going, can't help but get overwhelmed with thoughts of confusion, anxiety, fear, and worry, and live a life of frustration, anxiety, and worry. And friends, if you're thinking about nothing, you become nothing. It not only will, but there's no way it cannot be. You see, this whole business about what we think about is like a law of science. And you know I'm a biochemist by training. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Sir Isaac Newton has these laws. Another is the law of gravity. If you get on top of a building and you jump off, you're going to go down. You're not going to go up. It's the way it is. It's a law. It's the natural law. Our thinking is the same as all these other laws of nature. They always work. They're inflexible. Think about your goal in a relaxed and positive way. Picture yourself in your mind's eye as having already achieved this goal. See yourself doing the things that you'll be doing to achieve this goal. see the results and the success you'll be having when you've reached this goal. We resist this, I think, because it's so simple. We think somehow it's got to be more complicated than this. As a major gift officer, I would sit down and say, where do I see the major gifts coming this coming year? Who are the people? What are the projects? What are the places? I created those plans. And then I didn't put it on the shelf and say, all right, I got that plan done. Now I can go on and do what I'm going to do, which is flail about like a fish, flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. No, I would keep those goals, those overarching goals, but those specific names and what I felt they would support right in front of me on my desk every single day. And I would ask myself, what am I going to do today to help move these people forward? Because what this does is, number two, it focuses our attention. So we set an intention. What are we going to raise this year? Then we focus our attention. Every one of us is the sum total of our own thoughts. We are where we are because that's exactly where we really want, or listen to me now, listen to me, or feel we deserve to be, or feel we deserve to be, whether we'll admit it or not. Whether we'll admit it or not. Some of us have this stuff going on that we don't feel we deserve to be successful. We are where we are because that's exactly where we really want or feel we deserve to be. Each of us must live off the fruit of our thoughts in the future because what you think today and tomorrow and next month and next year will mold our giving success and our life and determine our future. We're guided by our minds. So the moment we've decided to work towards this goal, we're immediately a success and we're in that rare group of people who know where we're going. Out of every 100 people, you would be in the top 5. This means we drop the victim thinking. I don't have the staff. We don't have the right donors. We don't have the right people. I don't have enough time. Our demographics are changing. My donors aren't available for an appointment. Oh, we just got a big hit for unexpected infrastructure expenses. I don't know how to ask. My board won't help. I get asked to do all these other things. We're going to do another event. Shed the victim thinking and refocus on your major donors. Remember, what you focus on grows. What you put your attention on expands. So if your attention is on raising major gifts the rest of this year, that will expand. Okay? Now our third point, action. So we've had an intention. We intend to have a certain success the remainder of this year or our calendar or fiscal year. We put our attention on it. We eliminate the distractions. We put our attention on it. And number three, we take action. And the best way to take action is to create or update your relationship action plans now. If you're thinking, whoa, that's right, Marcy has these relationship action plans. I don't know if I've done them. Or prospect management plan or donor plan or whatever you call yours. I think of our work with major donors as this wonderful relationship we're building. So I want to be sure to take action to grow and foster and nurture the best relationships I can with them. So a relationship action plan is a written plan. So now we've intended. That's in our mind. We're putting our attention on a specific goal we've written down. And now we're creating that plan, which is also written. It's a written plan of specific artful actions you and or your partners will take, and as a good guide, at least once a month, with at least our top 25 to 50 givers, or a specific group of givers, depending on what your position is, over the next, now, you know, we're in May, over the next June, July, August, September, October, November, December, 7 months or more, to facilitate their maximum long-term investment. And then we reverse engineer this. So a relationship action plan is written. We've looked at artful actions that we can take. We've thought about all of the different things we can do to engage our donors in our mission and vision. We use multiple partners to help us with these. This isn't solo work. We look at monthly actions. The more major the donor, the more sophisticated the plan. The smaller the donor, or the newer the donor, you know, somebody we're just trying to get engaged, they're not going to be as sophisticated. But those major donor ones will be very detailed. And again, it begins with the long-term ending in mind, okay? When we create relationship action plans, it helps us focus, and that brings clarity for us. So overall, we're not winging it. It's not, gee, I got to go see Joe. I wonder what I should do this time. Well, you know, I haven't done this. Maybe we'll do that. This winging it, this I've got to do something, well, what would be good? No. We've thought about these actions, and we're working backwards from that ask and beyond. So we're not winging it. And that makes us clear. We've created giving priorities for each and every one of these people based on a couple of things. Our long-range strategic plan, where do we see ourselves in 2, 3, 5, 10 years, and then what needs to come into place for us to get to that long-range plan in terms of giving priorities. And we've looked at the operations budget, and we've said, what things in our operations budget can we talk to people about supporting us so that we can have a met operation budget success. These things should be turned into vibrant options for giving. So how do we talk about both our long-range goals and our current needs in a way that tells a wonderful story to our major prospective givers? By creating these relationship action plans and not winging it, we're treating our giver with respect. We're not hoping we can just figure out what in the world we're going to do on a call that we finally have gotten, but we're thoughtfully thinking about where we're trying to take them. And that's respectful of them. We hear all of this conversation about engaging your board, and your board should help you with fundraising and engaging others in the plan. That's just dandy. But who wants to jump on that ship that we talked about earlier that's got no crew and captain, and we're hoping it makes it out of the harbor, versus who wants to be on the ship that's got a captain and a crew and a destination and a clear plan for how it's going to get to that destination? If I'm a board member or a volunteer or another donor or your dean or your executive director or your program staff or your, who else are your partners, or your clients who have benefited from the money you've raised, I don't want to just feel like my step is sort of out there in space. I want to see how it's part of a plan. So when we create this plan, our partners get it. They get that they're part of a plan. There's clear direction for them. They're much more confident and comfortable about getting on the ship that knows where it's going, right? When you have a plan for the people that you're working with, you know what your next steps are. So it's manageable because you're looking at things like, holy smokes, I set up a whole bunch of visits in June, but I've got nothing going on in July. Whoops, I better shift these around a little bit, or June's going to be crazy and July's not going to make any sense. So it's manageable, so you're happier because you're managing out the overwhelm and the stress. The other thing that's so important in these relationship action plans is you really are looking at, have I shared how their past giving or engagement has had impact? Have I expressed gratitude? Have I really said thank you? So instead of, oh my goodness, I've got to get around to that ask. Oh my goodness, I've got to identify more donors. Oh my goodness, I've got to, you know, get going on making these asks. We're and forgetting that our stewardship, our gratitude, our being a grateful recipient, those calls are probably the most important calls we do. We put those in as part of our plan. Who do we want to be sure that Joe sees so that we know, he knows how deeply we appreciate his engagement and his giving to us? We put those in the plan so we don't forget them. We don't overlook them. We don't run out of time for them. And finally, when we create these relationship action plans, I mean, this is what a lot of people start first, but you raise a lot more money. They're successful. You're successful. So let me give you 5 steps. I usually have 10, but you know what? We're in May. So things are different, my friends. We're in May. So let's talk about 5 steps to creating relationships. 1. First off, at this point in time, you need to sit down and you need to pull everybody who's given you money or everybody you think can give you money, everybody who's on the list, if you have not done this or if you have not reviewed it for a while, and pick those very, very, very most top donors who you are defining by 3 things. 1, what is their capacity? This is your best guess. If you can't afford Wealth Engine, you don't care. This is your best guess based on what you know and what you can glean from other volunteers that they have your top capacity. The second factor is how engaged or interested are they? Have they been involved with your organization? Or are they brand new? So it's also a part of really looking at them and looking at who has been most engaged now and giving them kind of a 1 to 10, a 1 to 10 on capacity, a 1 to 10 on how engaged are they and excited already about what you're doing and participating in the past or come to events or mentor somebody or volunteer, all of those kinds of things that indicate engagement. And the third thing is how ready do you think they are? Knowing these people, I mean, this fall we will be sending our youngest, David, to the Berklee College of Music in Boston. We are thrilled he's been accepted there. He was accepted into all the best music schools in the nation. All of them are private. All of them are buku bucks. Berklee is about $65,000 a year. Well, that's going to impact some of the timelines of the tithing that I personally do and that Ken and I do. So we know some of these things about our donors, or we know that somebody's just put, you know, needed to put a parent, a loved one in assisted living or something that's maybe more robust than assisted living. And maybe they have insurance that covers it or maybe not. So we need to kind of look at how ready are they to make a gift right now. Are there things happening in their lives? Are they paying off a big pledge to another organization? Doesn't mean we don't ask, but we propose a different timeline. So 3 factors that we're kind of ranking 1 to 10. What is their capacity? What is their engagement? And what is their readiness? And look at also the other responsibilities that you have. But don't let this be an excuse. Now is really a time to say, I create my life, and I become what I think about. And if I'm going to think about, oh, but I also have to manage a team. Oh, but I get that. But let's not have that be an excuse so we don't get the results we want. Let's not say, what can I all come up with so that I don't have to do as much major gift work? That's not how we look at that. I do want us to look at different team members and see, are they only part-time, or do they also manage, or do they also run an event, or do they also do something in the program, or do they also manage all the volunteers, or whatever. I get that, but I also get that that's not for us to be able to say, see, I can't do this, I've got all these other things to do. No. It's to look at it and say, how can I maximize my major giving footprint in light of all of the things I do? What can I put off on these other things? What can I delegate? And for sure, how can I manage opportunities with my executive director, my dean, my board president, whomever, that the more I spend time doing this other stuff, the least time I have time to do what really matters, especially if it's an event. What really matters, get rid of that event and raise major gifts. It's so easy for us to get swept into, oh, let's send a mailing. Oh, let's have an event. Oh, let's crowdsource. Oh, let's post on Facebook. Oh, let's, you know, ugh. It's fine. All that stuff is fine. But if you want to transform in your organization, it's major gifts. Part of major gifts is you don't get that instant buzz, that instant gratification, if you don't know how to read it right. So you may go out on a major gift call, and they may say, you know, Marcy, this is something we've been talking about for a long time, and I think it's time that we really look more seriously on how we are invested in your organization or what we do with you. Or maybe their words would be, you know, how we support you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, that's not a gift right there and now and today, but that is something that would make me do cartwheels. That is an incredible statement. So it might not be, gee, will you consider a gift of $500 and they write a check. Yeah, that's great, and $500 is wonderful, and I'm grateful, and I'm excited. But that's that short-term, instant gratification kind of buzz. I want that long-term, they've said something to me that says, ooh, we are on the path, on the track, on the road to having a deeper, bigger, more wonderful relationship with this person. Wow. That is going to be transformational, not transactional. So we have to look at these five steps to creating a wrap. I got a little bit excited there. Givers that are highest in capacity and interest, or selected groups. If your position is more that you want to say, okay, everybody that gave $1,000 or $5,000 to the annual event, we want to work with all of them to look at how we can start them on a path to establishing their own named endowment. That's our goal for this group this year. And we're going to take these 15 people and we're going to do these 10 steps with them between now and the end of our fiscal year. So a relationship action plan can also be with a group. So we focus in on those top ones. Number one, so focus in and look at those people with highest capacity, interest, and readiness. So be sure we know that we're focusing in. You cannot do artful major gift fundraising with a cast of hundreds. This is really all about those top 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 names, depending on how well you know them. Number two, everything known is captured. So you really sit back and you think about these people. Not in a, oh my God, no, not dramatically, but you say, all right, let's think about Sally and Ed. Let's think about how they are with us, what we know about them, and think about this in a positive way. I've listened to one major gift officer recently, and she said, well, you know, I know they don't like this about us, and I know they had a concern once about that, and I know their daughter didn't have the best experience with this. Oh, my goodness, what a negative Nelly. So think of, I'm not saying be realistic about their experience, but if you want to paint a negative picture around their relationship with you, you're in the wrong business. You think about all of the reasons they love you and how we can maximize on those positive things. What do we already know about their interests? What do we see about their gifts to us or others? What legacy do we think they'd want to leave? Now, you know, people get all squirmy when I say that. Now, how do I know what they want to do? Well, you know what? You do. We have these things inside of us called hunches or sixth sense or I wonder ifs. And that's all about what I know of Pete and Alice. I'll bet that this would be important to them. And let me tell you, friends, our hunches are more spot on than a lot of times we realize. So what legacy do we think they want to leave? How do we want them to be remembered? And if nothing's coming up for us, how do I get this in as the next question on my call? You know, Pete and Alice, have you ever thought about when you're not around anymore, what you want people to say about you? How you want them to, yep, Pete and Alice, they were always blah. How would you fill in that line? Hey, Pete and Alice, they were always, you know, they were always excited about the XYZ organization, and gosh, did they make a difference there. Then what steps, actions, people, experiences, information would specifically help Joe and Alice get to the point where they say, I'm proud of what we do together in this organization. And I want to be invested. And then we start recruiting those people that can help us. As we're capturing everything we know, we're talking to those people we think are closest to them about how they can be part of our relationship with our top folks. Number three, decide. Decide, right? The word decision, sice, comes from a Latin word that means cut, sish, decision, sish. I don't know Latin any more than I know French, but it means cut. So you're cutting off any other possible action than what you have decided on for these donors, okay? Not that it can't change as you learn more about them, but you need to make a decision. So you decide on a long and a short-range giving goal for them. And think big. Use your best guess. Aim high. How often have we been at an event when we've heard donors say, thank you for giving my vision wings. Thank you for making my big dreams come true. Bring me big ideas and we'll help you. Not, oh, we can't meet our operating budget this year. Will you help us? Not victim thinking. Dream big. Dream big. Find that long-term vision goal and find that short-term, what can they do this year? Then number four, write out action steps for monthly touches. And when you do this, don't start with next month I'm going to do this. Start with in November I'm going to ask them for $500,000 to do this. Okay, so if I'm going to ask them in November, what has to happen in October so I know that's the right ask? What has to happen in September so I know I can set up that ask in October? What has to happen in August so that they're very crystal clear about how the gift I'm asking them for is going to make a difference and resonate with the legacy they want to leave? What has to happen in July? Do you see what I'm saying? Start with that ask and work backwards. And then December, of course, is how I'm celebrating the gift they're going to make. So December, I'm celebrating their yes. November, I'm asking. October, I'm knowing what I need to do to be ready to speak that ask. You know, it could be as much as I know that we need for the ask, I know that I need my board chair, my executive director, and me, because that's just how this couple rocks and rolls. They're going to want them in. This is a big deal, big ask. Well, I am going to tell them already, in October, I need 4 or 5 days of your time to make these 5 or 6 specific visits. Hello, right? Or I know that they're not around in November. So then in late September, beginning October, before they go to someplace warm and wonderful, if you're in Wisconsin or someplace here, this makes more sense to you. But before they take off and go, maybe they go in the summer where it's cool, you've got to also say, when am I going to speak that ask because I can get everybody together? And you get time on people's calendars now. You hold some time now. You warn them now. Hey, I'm going to need time then. Then you're not going, oh, the dean never makes time for me on his calendar, poor me. Ah, ah, trauma. So you write out those steps going backwards. And I'm going to send you with the follow-up for this call and the recording. I'm going to send you a big picture chart that I use with my VIP clients to plot out their relationship action plans. And I'm also going to send you a sample spreadsheet. Some of you are going to like the big picture one more. Some of you are going to like the spreadsheet more. I think you need both. I think you need the big picture one for your dreaming and your idea making. And then I think you need that spreadsheet to whoop, put it all together. Bing, 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 for all of the top people you want to work with. Then number 5. Decide you're going to do these plans, my friends. You know, sit back and say, decide. So that means, again, you cut off any other possible actions. You cut off all of these excuses. Oh, my big toe hurts. I can't make a call today. Oh, you know, I have to do this with my kids. Sure, you need to do this with your kids. But make sure that you have planned the time to execute your plans. Make sure that you have made a commitment. Make sure that you're telling yourself, okay, I'm going to make 15 visits each month according to my plans. Okay, I'm going to set aside, I have one gal, and I believe she's on the call. There are too many of you for me to find her number today. But she said, Marcy, I am not getting enough of these relationship action plans done. Too much stuff gets in the way. So I suggested that she block off time away from her busy, disrupting office twice a week to just work on executing her relationship action plans. She's already a rock star. This is making her an even better rock star. She's getting those appointments set up. She's reviewing where she wants to be with them, and she's laying out tremendous success for herself for the rest of this year. Make sure that as you're executing this plan that you're plopping things in on your calendar, or if you have a system that gives you next contact dates, you're making sure that those pop up to you and that you're looking at also locking in that time for your partners. So execute the plans. You've got to start now. You've got to start now. So let me just quickly review. You're setting an intention. Your intention is simply this. You will experience, I will experience wildly successful major giving results this year. Yep. I will experience wildly successful major giving results this year. That is what I intend to do. So it is so. Number 2, your attention. So because this is my intention, I am going to focus my attention, and what I focus on grows. I'm going to focus my attention on making my major giving success happen. Number 3, action. I'm going to create or recreate or refocus on or recommit to relationship action plans for my top givers or my group of givers that I want to specifically work with for the rest of this year. I remember one time I was driving through Arizona, and they were working on a highway construction, Unlike Wisconsin, they do construction all the time out there. Here, we just do it from May until October. We have two seasons, winter and construction. But out there, it was going on when I was there in February. And it was one of those giant earth-moving machines, and it was roaring along with what looked like 30 tons of dirt in it. It was just this massive machine. My little rent-a-car looked like this peanut next to this machine. And way up on the top was this fella. And he looked teeny tiny to me. I mean, he looked just tiny in this massive machine as I'm looking up from my peanut car. And he's got his wheels in the hand. It is the wheel's in his hand, and one hand is on the lever, and he's controlling this machine, guiding it. And I was struck by how similar this machine is to our human minds, these great gifts of God, these great brains we've been given. Just suppose these amazing minds, of which we use what? 10%, 5%, a fraction of their potential. Just suppose here we sit in this incredible machine, this incredible mind, and we hold the controls. We have the steering wheel. We are in the driver's seat of such a vast source of energy. Are we going to sit back and say, kind of tired today. Yep. I don't really have what I need to do this anyhow. Yep. Yep. Well, I wonder what's on the TV tonight. I wonder if break time yet. Are we going to just fold our arms and let it run into the ditch? Or are we going to keep both hands firmly on the wheel and control and direct this power to our specific worthwhile purpose? Let me hear you. I create my life. I create my life. It is up to you, my friends. You're in the driver's seat. You see, the very law that gives us success is a double-edged sword. We must control our thinking. The same rule that leads us to lives of success, wealth, and happiness, and all the wonderful things we've ever dreamed of can lead us into the gutter. It's all how we use it, for good or for bad. Set your intentions for year-end major giving success now. Focus your attention on your goal. Don't give in to stupid distractions, pettiness, and drama. Take action on your relationship action plans right now. I hope this has served you this morning. This is Marcy Heim, the Artful Asker, and this has been the Artful Asking Success Club. Dial down the drama. Dial up your success. Until next time, invest in joy. Never forget how I believe in you and the power you have to compose a good world. Thanks for being with me. Bye-bye now.